So last time we had a chance to begin, Daf Tunis, and what we opened with was questions. Really the first item that Ramchal puts on the table is that we're going to be asking questions, that we're going to be seeking not only to believe, but to understand what it is we believe. Not looking for proof, looking for understanding. And that's actually, I think, an important point we saw last time. Right. And the Shama says to the Seichel, I believe, I have no problem believing, but I'd like to understand it. If this one, the language even says, Chovas Hadas. The religion demands that I believe, I'm comfortable with that. I'm not rebellious, but I seek to understand. Not to question from the point of view of attacking. Sometimes people have questions coming from a place of being uncomfortable with things, which also questions have to be aired and dealt with. But you can also have questions, I'm willing to believe. The halacha demands I believe. I'd like to understand it. Just explain to me. I'd like to explore my emunah. And we had seen from the outset, we had gotten last time through Oz Tes. We had seen from the outset that the first issue that the Seichel had raised as sort of a preliminary to any sort of serious inquiry into emunah is to recognize. There has to be a balance between inquiry and intellectual humility. There's a recognition that we understand that we're finite creatures of an infinite creator, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of a mind, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of curiosity. That's a wonderful thing. We should be curious, and we should seek to explore and to understand. And at the same time, to temper that with a recognition that there are going to be limits. That by virtue of our finitude in God's infinitude, obviously, we're not going to be able to work out the details. And we should be comfortable with that. And I said, absolutely. As the Neshama says in Oz Tes, that's what we left off last time. That I'm entirely comfortable with that. I want to understand the principles. I want to understand the contours. The fact that there will be endless details and all the details can be worked out to the nth degree, that's fine. But let me at least understand the overall structure. Let me understand the overall contours. Let me understand the klal. And then he referenced, closed Oz Tes by reference to the Mishnah, I understand that I won't be able to finish everything. There'll always be unanswered questions. I'm comfortable with that. But presumably alluding to at the same time the other half of that statement via in the Mishnah Pirkevas. The fact that it's unfinishable doesn't mean I therefore shouldn't start. I need to do. I have a vision of trying to understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu, trying to understand how Kadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us, trying to understand what Kadosh Baruch Hu expects of us, what his plan is for us, and to the extent that I can work that out and get greater understanding, that would be marvelous. That's the goal. Yeah.
Do you think when he says I don't need a proof, I just want to understand, is that like a yesod? Could that be like a yesod in Judaism? Like we're not trying to prove anything.
That's a good question. That's a good point. It definitely is one approach. Among several of the rationalist Rishonim, there definitely was a push for proof. Sadigon talks about proof, the Rabban talks about proof, others talk about proof. And in fact, there were Rishonim who understood that the mitzvah of Idias Hashem was to prove one's emunah. To find, and I begin, as the Chovos HaLevavos writes, and the Radak write, commenting on a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, David HaMelech's some of his parting words to Shlomo, to his son Shlomo, include some language of the pasuk. Da Eselokei Avicha, know the God of your fathers. The longer quote, Da Eselokei Avicha Va'avdeyu B'leiv Shalem V'nefesh Chavetz. Know the God of your fathers and worship Him and serve Him. Belay with wholeheartedly and with excitement, with desire. So both the Radak and the Chovos HaLevavos comment that phrase Das Akevicha, to know the God of your fathers, that's meant to be a balance of two different elements. Because the philosophically minded Rishonim tend to assume that Yedias Hashem means it's a reference to philosophical inquiry, to inquire into our emunah. So the Radak and Chovos HaLevavos both right. Das Elokei Avicha means you accept Him as Elokei Avicha. You accept based on the star, based on tradition. I accept that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. I accept my emunah. At the same time, we're going to seek to not suffice. I'll start with that. I'll start with Masorah, and then I seek to deepen it and take it further through Yediyah. through inquiry. So he's seeking to analyze and understand that emunah as much as possible. In other words, I don't feel that it's threatened. I don't feel threatened by my lack of proof. I don't feel threatened by my lack of understanding. I'm comfortable saying I can accept and believe things after tradition, but at the same time, it'll be that much richer if I can understand and dig deep. But there were Rishonim definitely who believed that that's a mitzvah. To take that which you believe in and find proof for it. So there were Chovos Halavos dedicates the first of the 10 sections of the Sefer. Shaar Yichud Emunah. Shaar Yichud is to proving the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that was an approach that's no longer is nearly as popular as it was. And I think that the Ramchal definitely, I think, very self-aware, cognizant of the fact that he's not doing that. As a matter of fact, in Derech Hashem, which is not laid out as a conversation, but is laid out in an expository way, as you know, sections and chapters, he lays out a series of axioms at the beginning. We believe the following statements about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe that there's a God who created the world, and X, Y, and Z, a series of statements. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is simple, and that he's perfect, and so forth. And then, from those axioms, he builds all his theorems. So those axioms, he begins to build. Well, let's think about that. If that's the case, it follows logic that we imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have done this, and that he would treat us this way. We understand why this happens, we understand why that happens. So, not exactly Euclidean, but certainly there's a sense of, you know, adopting certain axioms, and being comfortable adopting certain axioms. And then let's build from that, given those axioms that we accept, you know, on their face, so then we can begin to make sense of everything else. I've thought in the past that that is... There was a... one or two philosophically oriented mathematicians who developed this theory in the late 18th century, early 19th century, the continuum hypothesis. Hermann Gödel, I think his name was. That there are many different ways of expressing this hypothesis, this idea, in analytic sense and in geometric sense and so forth. But one of the least symbolic ways to put it is that in any sufficiently complex logical system, there must exist statements which are neither demonstrably true nor demonstrably false. In a sufficiently complex logical system, you can't prove everything. It doesn't mean that statements don't have truth values. This means you can't directly prove the truth value, what something is true or false. It can't be that everything is provable. Which, essentially, in a sufficiently complex logical system, which essentially means you're always going to have it. Now is not the time for that. But it means you're going to, loosely speaking, that, you know, there are always going to be axioms, always going to be things that you accept. So Ram Chal says, okay, here's what we accept. We accept certain Ikar Emunah. And then from that, we build a logical basis for understanding everything else. And I think that you're right. That is being expressed here. And I think it is meant to be helpful. This is a intellectually rigorous, intellectually acceptable approach. We're gonna seek to understand as much as we can, recognizing that we can't understand everything, and we can feel comfortable saying we accept certain things in belief, but would like to understand them better. That's a comfortable, proud position to take. Okay. So now that those preliminaries have been settled, so in paragraph Yud, Amar Aseichel, where are we going to get started? You wanted to know, that the Shamed wanted to understand the last four animamas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkach over us, and his expectation of how we're going to act, and the Schar V'Onesh that flows from that, as well as the end story in terms of Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim. So, Amar Aseichel, paragraph Yud, Zeh Vadai, the first thing you have to know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hekim Olamo Al HaMishpat, U'Minahago B'Mishpat Yashar V'Nem. You need to understand from the outset that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built this world on justice. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides and leads this world in a just way. How do I know? It says, Apasukin Chumash, V'zeh davar tir'io so barur b'lishum safek, u'kemo she'id hara'eh ne'eman. This is very clear as the reliable shepherd as Moshe Rabbeinu, the shepherd of Klal Yisrael, shepherd of sheep and the shepherd of Klal Yisrael, told us in one of the closing Pesukim of Chumash, "Hatzur tamim parloki chal derachav mishpat keil emunah ve'ein avel tzadik v'yashar." One of the opening Pesukim of Shiras Hazinu, Hazinu talks about some very difficult times that Klal Yisrael are going to go through in the future, and one of the part of the preamble to that, Moshe Rabbeinu lays out, you need to know in advance that tamim parlo. Kol Rechav Mishpat Kadosh Baruch Hu is just. What he does is whole and perfect. There's nothing unfair. Ein Avel. Sadik V'yashar. So, Amar Neshama, paragraph off. Yosha Mishpat Hazeh Ve'omek Ha'itz HaShleima Zosha Zacharta Hu Ma'ashani Chafetz L'Shmah M'mcha Ve'eritev. That's exactly what I want you to talk about. Exactly what I want you to dig into and to explain to me with nuance and with profundity is how is this Mishpat straight? Explain to me the depth of the thinking here, because I don't understand it. I'm willing to believe. I believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is just. I believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is around the world, but that's exactly why I need to explain. I look around the world. Where is the justice? I believe it's there, and I need to find it. Okay, help me find it. Let's discover. Amar Seichel, paragraph good biz. Achma shetzarich levarir rishona hu inyan metzias ha'adam v'avodah mutazla. He says, okay, so let's dive in. The first topic we're going to take up in the course of this intellectual journey to ultimately come out with an understanding, a deeper understanding, how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs his world and how that relates to us, first we need to figure out is what are we and what does Kadosh Baruch Hu expect of us? We need to come to understand what's Ribbono Shel'Olam's purpose, what's the telos? We're here for what end? I'm with you, absolutely. That's going to need a lot of understanding. I'm all ears. So Amar HaSeichel in paragraph Yidal. HaYisod HaRishon Sha'olav Omeid Kalabinyan. Here's the first foundation upon which the entire building stands. A foundation is the first step in building. And it's the most critical, and the sturdiness and stability of the building depend more than anything else on the foundation. At the same time, the foundation, once the building is built, you don't see the foundation. As I think, it's a great depth in this metaphor. It's what you need to work at first, and it's the most critical for the stability of everything you build on it. At the same time, it's the sort of thing that's easy to overlook and easy to ignore because it's not visible. Where Ramchal opens... Mesilas Yisharim with the metaphor of Yisod as well. Yisod HaChasidus V'Shor Shavar Atum. That is both the root of a plant and the foundation of a building very similar. And he goes on to talk about exactly what he talks about at the beginning of Mesilas Yisharim as well. The Yisod is, we need to begin to build our, whether it's to build a practical program of ambition of Os Hashem, whether it's to build our understanding, that's what happens in Mesilas Yisharim, but whether it's here, it's to build an intellectual structure of understanding, to build our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the world, the first step is this foundation. Sheratzah ha-ratzan ha-elyon sheyiyah ha-adam mashlim ha-satzmo v'ezkol ha-nivra bishvilo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that we ought to complete ourselves, make ourselves whole, and to make everything that was created for us whole. And that's a point that the Ramchal makes at some length in Mesilas Yisharim, as Perek Aleph continues, is that through our mitzvahs, or through our veiros, through our good choices or our poor choices, we not only elevate or degrade ourselves spiritually, but we also elevate or degrade the world around us. Is the spiritual quality, spiritual status, if you will, of the world or physical world around us rides on our decisions. He's first going to express this in a more dense and somewhat cryptic way, and then he's going to unpack this idea. So he says, look, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have the opportunity to make ourselves whole, to build ourselves, and to build the world around us, to improve the world around us spiritually. And that itself will be our schus and our schar. We will have earned something, and we're going to receive schar for that. Zuchuso, l'fi ma'ashinim tsa shehu misaseik, v'yagei la'asik, l'ashleim usazeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity, to give us a mission, a mission to work at, a job to do, to seek out this sort of shleimus. To the extent that we use this world well and we attain degrees of shleimus, we make ourselves spiritually more whole, we make ourselves more resonant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to that extent, what we enjoy as a result is something we've created. We have created our own hope. The scharo shere sof sof hu yiha mushlim. I will have made myself more resonant, spiritually resonant. We've made myself more whole. Yemisanei betovel and etzan etzachem. And I'm going to have the opportunity to enjoy the goodness and sweetness that flows from that without end, forever. Amar Neshama in paragraph 10, wow, you said that was a very, very, very dense sentence. Is that Yisod Shekol Pinos Rabos? That's a principle that includes a lot of different angles, a lot of different facets. I'm waiting to hear where you're going to go with this. When I see what you build on this, then I'll be able to understand in retrospect what are all the ideas that you meant by this. That's a very poetic and itself dense way of saying. The previous sentence was very, very dense. It seems like there are a lot of ideas that were rolled into one sentence, one very complex sentence. I'm not even sure what all those ideas were. That sounds like it was very loaded in a beautiful way. And maybe if I hear where you go with it, then I'll understand what are all the different ideas that you were driving at. I see there's a lot to talk about. We're going to have to come back to this and come back to this and come back to this idea. This idea that at its core, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us as an act of chesed, that we're here because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us, and we're here because this is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for us to enjoy and to be as happy, as satisfied as possible. We don't always see it right away. We see creation as the ultimate act of chesed. But I have one question. Let's get started. I'm going to need to ask you a lot of questions that you just said. We're going to come back to it. We're going to delve into more. We'll come to different angles. Let's start with this. Can you understand why the Kadosh Baruch Hu want people to complete themselves, to make themselves whole? Why does Kadosh Baruch Hu want that? Amar Seichas Tam Pashat. It's simple. Who tali b'tshuva she'el acheres. Classic Jewish response. I'll answer your question with a question. You want to know why the Kadosh Baruch Hu want this? I'll ask you a question. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu want to create at all? Why create universe? Why create creatures? Why create us? Why? The Shama says, that's also a good question. Great question. Maybe you'll answer for the two of us. Okay, so you have a couple of questions on the table now. Most recently, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu create the universe? Why create people? And why did specifically Kadosh Baruch Hu set us up in such a way that we have this need to complete ourselves, to make ourselves, to build our sar? The Seichel says in Osir Ches, what we can understand in this topic of why did God create the universe, again, that's right away tipping of the hat that we don't expect to fully understand in detail why Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create us, is that very much presses on the cusp, that ridge of Kadosh Baruch Hu being the crevice. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, we're finite, that divide, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu. But to the extent that we can understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu's goal in creating the universe, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate good, and he's the ultimate in goodness. And the essence of goodness is to want to give. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate giver. That's what he wanted, didn't need to. Ramchal is very clear. Point of Chai Velashner and others make as well. Right? It's not that God needed to create the world. He doesn't need anything. God has no needs. He's independent. But he's imperative. His existence is imperative. But he was interested in creating us, creating creatures, so that he could be beneficial. He could give goodness to these creatures. There's no beneficence unless there are beneficiaries. But if I was interested in doing good for others, you need others, and it's good. So we're the others. Amnam, now it goes on, well, how about the good? Kadeshati Hatava Hatava Shlema, in order that the goodness that Kadosh Baruch could take care of us as best as possible, take care of the maximum pleasure and enjoyment. Yad bechachmasar niskavab, shiroi shiyu hamekablim osa, mekablim osa b'yigekavab. Kadosh Baruch understood, or perhaps one could say, Kadosh Baruch preserved the universe such that we enjoy goodness most when we've made it, when it's not just a handout. Does you Bali have told the whole, if we can have earned our goodness, if we can have created, cultivated our goodness, we built it, so then it's something we worked for. We own it. We have ownership over that goodness, and not a boshas ponim bekabla matov, as opposed to being embarrassed or just getting handouts. Kamisha bekabla tzedaka mecha. Azel Amru, as Yerushalmi, man da ochet lav yulei, baz is takul epe. We know psychologically, if I'm getting from others, people are just supporting me, it could be practically useful, it could be difficult to look the supporter in the face. So, well, what the Ramchal is implying is that psychological reality expresses a far deeper metaphysical reality. Not just as we are created with our psyches as humans, we in Olam Hazeh, that's a difficult thing to fully appreciate something you have to hand out. Sometimes you need to, but it's not easy. If one has struggled with this, it's a difficult struggle. It's even more than psychological, something more profound than that, such as for us to just exist in Olam Haba would be lacking. It wouldn't be the full Hatana. We'll enjoy Olam Haba that much more if it's something that we've built, something that we've made. The Shama says, okay, I hear that idea. You're saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu, the first step in understanding that Kadosh Baruch Hu's purpose in creation was he was in order to have that opportunity. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the opportunity, so to speak, to do good for others. So he's going to create others. And the goodness will be maximized if we have both had a place in which to enjoy it as well as the opportunity to create it. Now, in Mesillas Yesharim, he gets in Derech Shad as well, he gets straight into Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. The Kadosh Baruch Hu creates two different contexts for us in which we exist and operate. One is optimal. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate engineer. He can make whatever he wants. He's omnipotent. He's kol yachol. So one context was optimized, was designed for tov, for pleasure. Yeah, that's Olam Haba. The other context in which we operate, which is this world, Olam Hazeh, was optimized not for pleasure, there is plenty of pleasure in Olam Hazeh, but it's not what it was built for, it was built for earning the pleasures yet to come, which is why this is the Olam HaNisayon, it's the ultimate arena of change. Here in Das Furnas, he's going to go in a different direction first. He's going to begin to talk about the problem of evil, or there's a problem of imperfection. And we're going to pick up with that next time. In order to have to in a meaningful way to say that we're creating our tov, there has to be some real mission. There has to be something that we're working on. There has to be some problem that we're solving. There has to be some imperfection that we can make perfect. Which, again, to take us back to how we started. And the very first thing that the Seichel said in this discussion, in paragraph 8 Dalet, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was interested in people having the chance to mashlim ourselves, to make ourselves whole. I mean that we have chisronos. We're built with chesronos. The world is this world. Olam Hazeh is built with chesronos. We have the opportunity to make those whole, to fix the sakin al machush agayim. So we're going to pick up with this in Mitzvah next time.